Competitive today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Time to get ready for Clayton's Blues, Brews, and Barbecue Festival. Head into downtown Clayton on August 31st and be prepared for plenty of food, drinks, and music. You'll be treated to a taste of almost a dozen of the newest craft breweries in the area, while some of the best local barbecue joints make sure you don't go hungry. And don't worry about diving in all of the way. Blues City Swing will keep you moving throughout the night. Tickets are just $35 and come with a sample beer glass and more. Get yours now and check out the full lineup at ClaytonBrewsAndBlues.com.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
The kids might have the back-to-school blues, but deliciously marinated tenderloins, loin fillets, and chops from Hatfield are just what you need to put a smile on their faces. Stop by your local Schnucks before that first bell rings and visit simplyhatfield.com to make easy more interesting.
Club Fitness lifts local, helping our community build strong bodies and even stronger minds. Join for free in August when you contribute to our school supply drive benefiting the Little Bit Foundation in St. Louis.
I love high-impact workouts and community impact projects. At Club Fitness, I get both.
Bring new school supplies to any of our 24 locations and pay nothing to get started.
That's how we lift local.
Let's lift a little bit. Donate in August. Join Club Fitness for free. See Club for details.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go. Come on. You guys come with me.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Milk Duds for everybody. On me. Milk Duds. All around.
To pull your fillings out, won't they?
No, those are sugar daddies. Sugar right. That sugar daddy on a stick.
Yeah.
That will pull your teeth out, not just the filling. That stuff is, that's brutal. So the music means, of course, that it's time to sit around here for the rest of the hour with Dan Buffa. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and a terrific supporter of the show. Please tell them your AM and the PM and go to their website, windowworldofstlouis.com. Now, when I introduce him, I'm actually going to start off here because I think I need to apologize to everybody for something I asked you to watch yesterday. And then I watched it myself, and it was horrible. We'll get to all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Dan Buffa.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Now you have my suspense and waiting here.
Yes, my second son had called me and said, Dad, on Hulu, there's a documentary. I think it just came out Friday on The Amazing Jonathan. Have you ever seen him?
I have not.
Oh, my goodness, Dan. Go to YouTube tonight. Pull up different, just various clips on The Amazing Jonathan. He is the absolute funniest comedian slash magician I've ever seen. He's magician. Bizarre, okay. And he's great. So he said, so before I even saw it yesterday, I went on the air and I said, hey, everybody, Amazing Jonathan. And I watched it last night. It's the worst documentary I've ever seen. It's horrible. It's a documentary about three different companies that are making the documentary. It doesn't even make any sense.
So the subject is good, but...
Subject's not good because the subject's not even actually him. It's just horrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrible. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
I watched it last night after I watched the Nazi concentration camp one.
Oh, we're going to talk about that, too.
I wanted something to lighten the mood. This one... You get to see the Amazing Jonathan for a little bit, which I remember him from when I was a kid, that scene where he pretends to cut up
his arm. Yeah.
I remember that. But about 10, 15 minutes in, we find out there's another documentary crew working with him. So, okay, the director of the one we're watching kind of talks to the camera a little bit, and then we find out there's another documentary crew.
So it's a documentary within a documentary.
He's basically, none of the documentary crews are working together. Yeah. They're all doing their separate
work. And very little of it's even about him.
Well, that's kind of a cop-out.
Exactly. But then the director just interviews his dad and his stepmom.
Oh, it's horrible. That's horrible.
Footage about ARDs, his mother.
Limey, ARDs, how many would you get?
Oh, maybe half a one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Half an ARD. It's that bad.
It's terrible.
So I'm sorry, everybody, if you wasted your time. We have Dan and I know a guy, Joe Harden, who's a magician, and Joe and his wife Betty have been on multiple trips with us, the listeners. And I had called Joe and said, Joe, wow, you might want to watch it. I sent him a text this morning. I go, man, I'm so sorry. I hope you haven't watched it yet. If you haven't, don't do it. And he hadn't watched it yet, so now I know he probably won't. Now, here's the other interesting thing. I don't know how many people know that if you subscribe to Netflix or Hulu or Crackle or whatever, they allow like five devices to access it. So what happens is, let's say I have Netflix, but Dan Buffett doesn't, or Dan Strauss doesn't. I give you my password, and you watch something on Netflix on your phone or your iPad or your TV. It's pirating, but it's legal. There's nothing, you know, they know people do it. So when my son Austin had said, told me about the Amazing Jonathan thing, it said it's on Hulu. I said, hey, man, I said, can I tap into your Hulu account and watch it on? And he goes, we don't have Hulu. And I said, well, you watched it. He goes, yeah, we watched it on your account. I haven't, don't even know it. I have had Hulu for a couple of years and didn't even remember that I got it. He'd been using my Hulu that I didn't know I had. So sure enough, I pull it up. I looked at, I had in my notes in my phone. There it is, a Hulu password. I type it in. Boom, there's Hulu. I've been paying for it for at least 3 years. I've never watched it. Because what happens is they'll do the trial thing. I probably watched one thing and then didn't stop it, and it just kept being charged on a charge card.
They've got some great documentaries on that channel, Frank. My favorite one is the Hulu Ferrigno documentary.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Okay, now it starts. Yeah. The Hulu Rawls documentary, Hulu Gary, Hulu Brock. Let's just get them out of the way. So I know I have Hulu, and I watched it. Now, the second thing, Dan Buffett, I bet you've never seen this either. On Netflix, it's simply called Nazi Concentration Camps. That's the name of it.
I have not.
It is black and white.
Don't watch it with your kid.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Don't no, do
sit
not,
down, Vinny.
Do no, not let kids.
A little history lesson.
Don't watch it before
bed. We'll do a Marvel movie, and then we'll do, like, a, you know, Roblox, then we're going to watch some Nazis.
Well, I like it when somebody else in the room, and not just me, will comment. And Limey is going to do it because he watched it last night after what I said.
Yeah.
Dan, it's on Netflix.
And Limey doesn't mess around.
No, the reason it's black and white, it was shot in 1945, thereabout. By our armed forces with 16mm cameras, and that's the entire thing. There's narration, but what you're going to see in my life I had never seen and didn't know existed, and I think 98% of people will realize the same thing. You're going to learn things you didn't know, but you're going to see the most horrific, horrible scene. Limey, am I exaggerating?
He is not exaggerating in any way, shape, or form.
So they make it worse than Schindler's List?
No, no, oh, no, that, no, not, did, that's not
that
even close.
Schindler's List
Limey,
to shame.
Did you have any idea?
Wow.
They walked into when they liberated those people?
I've seen pictures, all right, about and Auschwitz.
So, and so have I.
So has everybody. We've all seen the pictures of the ovens.
The pits of the bodies.
Yeah. This is nothing. I mean, those pictures are nothing compared to this. I mean, this footage is raw footage. It's nothing. It hasn't been dramatized. It
sanitized.
Hasn't been
nothing.
Polished.
Where has it been?
It's nothing.
Just,
I'm guessing just in an army vault somewhere. It's just an army or a navy reporter just walking in with a camera and just filming scenes.
Oh. Found them. And you can, in your home, actually, you can almost smell the rotting corpses of these poor families of people who were murdered.
You can see the conditions that people were made to live in and their bodies as they were going. And it shows some people, even after they liberated these camps, they still died because they were beyond saving.
Limey, did you see there's one particular man they showed nude? He was a walking, living skeleton.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He couldn't have weighed 60 pounds.
There's this one guy, and this part almost brought me to tears, because he's there, and he's just looking sad and defeated and just broken. Like, he is a broken man. And you can see the soldiers removing corpses around him, right? Yeah. And then they finally come up to him with a stretcher, and he just starts crying and just thanking them, because he thought that he was gone. He thought that, they're clearing out the bodies, probably, like, you know, they're just going to leave me here. Like, and you can see all of this
almost
on
like
his
he
face.
Would have just wasted away.
It's
well, no, physical. He had already wasted
because they didn't
away.
Feed him, right? They, yeah. didn't, they didn't feed the people, right?
There and you can look at his eyes and tell his mind is gone. Mm-hmm. He's lost yeah. his mind.
Yeah, and there were, I mean, there was an American prisoner of war in there that they actually interviewed. So I think it's about the only audio in the movie.
Right, there are two pieces of audio.
One of the most terrible yeah. displays of humanity ever.
Is this is the history an hour of mankind? Long?
This is about
it's 1 hour.
Yeah,
1 hour.
Yeah, one oh, hour.
Gosh,
long
1 hour is enough.
There is no updated intro. It starts off. Just as the and in the beginning, it tells you on the screen mm-hmm. who shot it, when it was shot, and what you're looking at. And that's all done back then.
Mm-hmm.
I said on the air yesterday, in my entire life, it's the single most disturbing yeah. and powerful piece of truth that I've ever seen. And I also said this, and I want to repeat it. Any of you out there who are listening, who are one of these Holocaust deniers, please don't ever attempt to meet me. And if you do, don't let me know that you're that stupid. Because anyone, after watching this, who denies this happened is a moron.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And there's people out there that do that. There's people with a brain in their head.
Well,
think this is
again, it's simply called Nazi concentration camps. It's on Netflix. If you have a relative, a friend, a family member who has Netflix, tap into it, get their password, and watch this. Because I also mm-hmm. believe every single person over the age of 16 should have to watch it.
We have a new rating system. It's called Must Pirate.
Right. Well, I mean, watch it. We've all seen. All right.
Well, but piracy implies a criminal. It's not. Netflix has
but
never.
This would be worth it, though.
You've, yeah. I mean, everybody here has seen Terminator, right?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. We've all seen that scene where the robot is, like, walking over the skulls and they're yeah. surrounding right. bones everywhere. That there's an actual scene like that, and it hits you so much harder because you realize
it's real.
This isn't Hollywood. That those used That's to be human real. Beings.
That's real. Like,
and there's just a pile of
piles. They had dinner together. They went to school. They sang. They yeah. they went to church. They played. They grew up. They got married, and now they look like just nothing more than a pile of mannequins.
Mm-hmm.
Only mannequins aren't disturbing.
They could stand in probably a school anatomy class, and they go, "Oh, here we go." I mean, that's how skinny they were.
No, there was no meat on. I mean, it's just
it's terrible.
Please,
it makes
please.
You really appreciate life, yeah. and as in like the next breath of fresh air.
And it also makes you realize how capable humans are yeah. of being. Without any conscience at all.
I've always said, we're all born with the ability to be good and bad, and it's a pure choice. I mean, you go down one road, you go down the other road. I mean, everybody has the ability to be good or bad.
There's another scene, and even the narrator comments on this as well, that they make some of the local villagers walk through one of the prison camps. I don't remember which one it was.
Auschwitz was one.
Auschwitz was one, but there was another one.
Auschwitz is like, it's just
and
horrifying.
I had no idea that there was. I had no idea that there were so many different concentration camps, and they show a map.
That's the other thing I didn't know. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Dozens.
I thought it was one, like, really center base.
No. It is dozens. Plural.
Like, so imagine how many people, how many dead at each, like, camp.
No, but the total was 11 million. And when you kill 11 million
11
people,
million.
Yeah, yep. each camp is exterminating. It's lots of
11 million people. Just
I
like
do
that.
Believe one other thing. We need to, at some point, stop calling them concentration camps. They're murder camps.
Yeah.
They're murder. Cold-blooded they murder camps. That's what they should call. Concentration, I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? Yeah.
I don't know where it came from.
Concentration on evil.
Yeah. They're slaughter camps.
Yeah. And it really is.
They're torture and slaughter and murder camps.
I mean, it'll never, I know I've seen documentaries, but just seeing when they're shoved onto those trains. They're separated, men, women from their kids. That is just a terrifying image.
All right, well, I mean, I'm going to mention one other thing that when I heard it in the documentary, in my life I had never known this, that they were starving to the point that they ate mm-hmm. the livers and hearts of their dead comrades.
This nurse, I'm guessing she was imprisoned with them, but it was she didn't get such a rough deal because she had to take care of some of them.
Yeah,
and she said that the body, like these prisoners, well, as soon as somebody died, they cut out the parts that were not going to be infected by anything.
Yeah,
what was there was like typhus that was went yeah. rampant.
Hey, what did
tuberculosis?
What did the Joker say? You know, at the end of the world, these people, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
The word concentration camp derives from the word concentrate.
Which no, means don't group, make a sound.
Which means a government can concentrate a group of people who are in some way undesirable in one confined area.
In one place.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
You're welcome.
No, I still
murder
say
camps.
Yeah. Murder camps.
Yeah. Death camps.
And the other thing you learn that, and I guess the reason schools don't teach it is because it's so horrible, all the more it's reason tough to teach it, especially in high
yeah
school.
Yeah.
The thing you learn is the level of torture, for not just murder, but the torture.
Yeah. Murder is one thing.
This Dr. Mengele and these people, they experimented on children.
I mean, you can stand in front of somebody and just shoot them, and they're dead. But to do them slowly over weeks and months and take them out like that, to basically see them cling to life and then be gone, I mean, they did that on purpose. I mean, it was pure, the epitome of torture.
He would take twins, little children, and infect both of them with some deadly toxic germ bacteria to see if they both died at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
If twins were, you know.
They're experiments.
Yeah.
Kill you from the inside out.
I'm sorry, everybody, right, but I'm telling you, and I'll guarantee you, Limey is so glad that I made him watch it, or at least asked him to.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that once you do it, you'll be so glad you did, but you never want to see it again. You certainly don't want it to happen again.
Kevin on the phone has something to say about the documentary.
All right. And then we'll get to Dan, you don't mind. It's your segment. Kevin, that's what the segment's about. TV, movies. Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
I haven't seen the documentary, but I have seen Memories from the Camp, which was done by Albert Hitchcock in 1947 or 8, which is the videos you're talking about from the British and American forces, and it's pretty graphic.
All right, Kevin, having not seen what you're talking about, if you can, if there's a way you can do it, I want you to watch this, and I would put money on the fact that what you saw is a far more watered-down, diluted mm-hmm version, or abbreviated, or censored version than what you're going to see in this thing.
Yeah,
that's just what I'm going to bet you. If you think what you saw was disturbing, watch this.
Go to PBS.com and search Memory of the Camp. It'll show up there. They have it. But it's
it's on PBS, I'll tell you right now, it's nowhere near all the cold, hard, brutal, ugly facts that you're going to see in this other movie, because they wouldn't put all that on PBS. They just wouldn't. But
they showed like the bodies in the in their, what do you call it, their
cuts,
bunks, with laying next to dead bodies and pushing them out when people living next to them.
I've seen all that before too. I'd seen all that before. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to learn stuff that you just won't believe.
The footage in the Nazi concentration camps is literally taken minutes after they storm the camps. So it is unedited. It is raw.
When our forces walked in, they rolled the cameras. There's no editing. There's no. This is what they saw. People walking out
unfiltered
of what they call the like the woodshed or something, where they pile these bodies and they're gagging and vomiting. They can't even stand what they just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. All right, Kevin. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks for the call. All right.
Transition.
To one other thing I can contribute. I saw Good Boys and I saw Blinded by the Light.
I saw both those.
My wife and I walked out of Good Boys. It's the single most ridiculous, vulgar, filthy, young coming-of-age movie I have ever seen. I cannot believe that it did what it did at the box office and that it out-ticketed Blinded by the Light. Blinded by the Light, on the other hand, a wonderful movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I just left Blinded by Light. I left it about 15 minutes before I got here.
Okay, since that's fresh on your mind, give us your take on
Blinded.
I did
see Good Boys, and while I thought it was funny because I'm into that kind of crazy humor, I think it's a little overrated. I think it's like a sixth-grade version of Superbad.
It's filthy.
Hey, before Dan gets into that, what's the name of the documentary?
Nazi Concentration Camps.
Nice. Okay. It's just to the point.
Yeah, that's it.
But Blinded by the Light, I just got out of this, and I liked it, and I liked the way
that it was told from this kid. Yeah. You know, he 1987. That's when, you know, Pakistan and the Muslims were in England. They weren't really wanted there. And his dad was this hardened guy who wouldn't let him live his life. And he finds himself lost in Bruce Springsteen's music. And for a guy who hasn't really listened to his early stuff, like just like the Queen movie, just like Elton John, I found myself rediscovering Bruce Springsteen's lyrics.
Let me say this. I never cared much for Springsteen stuff, but because a lot of it I couldn't understand the lyrics. He was sort of screaming. So this movie has made me appreciate Bruce Springsteen. I went and pulled up and Googled some of his lyrics. Yeah. The guy is a brilliant poet.
He is. And really what he wrote about, I love the way the movie, in the end, or even when he gives his speech, where he says, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in America or if you're in Britain or if you're in Asia. I mean, his lyrics transcend to anybody.
And one of the things this Pakistani boy says, he says, how could this Bruce Springsteen in America... how can he know what it's like in my house? It's like he lives in our house.
Right. And one of the best parts is where he compared the kid, his dad, to Springsteen's dad. Like they grew up in a poor place. Right. Their dads both worked in factories. You know, it's just the similarities that you can find. And I always find that the best music is what you can relate to. That you can just find the lyrics and go, man, that just kind of, you can attach yourself to that. I think that for people, there's maybe one or two bands. Bruce Springsteen wasn't that for me. For me, it was the Stones and it was Dave Matthews Band. But I can see this guy. He's pretty much going to end up like his dad.
When somebody else can tell your story and they're not you and they've never met you and they can still tell your story, what it tells you is it's not just your story. You're not the only one going through
that. And, of course, it's inspired by a true story. The movie is about Javed, this young Pakistani kid living in England with his folks. He's kind of one of those guys who's doing what his dad wants him to. His dad collects all the wages in the house. He collects the wages from his sisters. Whatever he makes, it all goes towards the house, so he doesn't really have a life. And his best friend, who lives right next door to him, wants him to have a life. And he finally finds that in Bruce Springsteen's music. He starts to go out. He starts to date a girl. He kind of starts to break the rules because, you know, Muslims, they can't date. They don't drink. They don't really have fun. And he kind of starts breaking those rules, but he finds the meaning of life.
And the parents a lot of times find the mate for the son or daughter.
They do.
They pick out
the tell you who you're going to marry.
Yeah, here's your wife.
And one of the toughest scenes in the movie is when they're going to that wedding and there's a riot. And the kid's going off to buy Bruce Springsteen tickets, and his family's getting attacked. But it's a movie I think you can walk into, even if you're not a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
And I'm
a
perfect example. I couldn't name you more than three songs. Yeah. I knew very few of the lyrics. Now, I'm sort of a
Springsteen. You want to rediscover.
I'm kind of a Springsteen
fan. And that's the thing about movies and music when they're done really well. See, the same thing happened to me last week. I watched the Dave and Crosby documentary that came out last week.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Where is that?
It's at the Tivoli in Plaza Friday Night. It is amazing.
But where can you watch it? Can you stream it?
You can't stream it yet. It's only in theaters. It just came out last week.
Yeah, I like to see that.
Yeah, it's very good. Again, perfect example for your perspective with Bruce Springsteen was me with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I didn't know their music that much, so I basically went in there going, okay, I know some of their songs, but the way they told his story and the way that his lyrics, I was like, wow, that's him doing that. So for me, movies can help you rediscover stuff, and I think if you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, you'll love this movie. I mean, there's people that will just get lost in this film.
You want to talk to Brian?
Yeah.
And when people call, I just think we should let him jump in.
Yeah, jump in.
Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Oh, fine. AM and PM.
This
Thank
is
you.
Our Brian who calls a lot and is a super loyal listener. And by the way, a very charitable guy when the time comes that we need money. Well, you are. Money for charity. Brian, let me just say this. Brian is the guy. You mind if I tell him about our dinner?
No, go ahead.
This is the guy who paid $4,000 to go to dinner with me and my wife. His wife's name is Beth. They're wonderful people. We had a wonderful dinner, and I'm glad I got to know him. Brian, what do you
good
got?
Good for you, man.
What do you got?
Yeah, and you guys were great, too, seriously. What I wanted to ask is, did you guys see The Righteous Gemstones on HBO this past weekend? The Right with John Goodman?
I did not.
I want to see that.
It was.
I didn't
all of a sudden, it. I'm watching Succession, which comes on before, and I'm like, wait a minute, that comes on tonight?
Yeah.
It was apparently the most watched comedy for HBO.
Brian, apparently, you saw it, right?
Yeah, it is.
Danny McBride.
Is he good?
Yes, most amazing. Yeah, it's like a mobster slash church slash
televangelist, basically. Okay,
but it's
criminal.
But it's a comedy, right?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Yeah, no, it's very dark comedy. Yes.
So you liked it?
I think it's going to win a ton of awards.
Compare it to something. Give me something like it. What can I compare it to?
Well, that billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Okay.
Kind of got that vibe to it. You know, it's not as cruel as that, but it's basically like, you know, preachers are kind of warring with each other, and Goodman's basically taking over people's territories. You know,
to me, it kind of has a Coen Brothers feel to it. That kind of same world that they kind of like to create.
Yeah, it's funnier than that, though. You know what I mean?
It's good. Yeah,
I think there's something to the televangelists being like mobsters, because I think that's true. I think Jimmy Swagger's getting too many viewers. We got to do something. He's got a guitar player. Let's put a guitar player in our church. I mean, I do, and I think
because you can use, like, you know, you're talking about God and religious people, so you can bring people into that and use them, take advantage of them.
Yeah. Well, what's the name of it again? Something Gemstone.
Yeah,
what is it?
The Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
And Frank, you'll love it if you watch it. It's only been on once, but it is very inventive. I think it's probably the best thing I've ever seen Jack Goodman do.
Those are big words.
So it's a Sunday night thing? Is that when it's on?
It's right after Succession.
Okay. I did watch Succession, but I didn't stay up for the other one. All right, Brian. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Appreciate it. Good luck. Why is he does he know something we don't know? Are we fired?
It's basically...
Is this station's filming?
It'd be nice for somebody to tell me.
He probably just watched Taken with Liam Neeson. He's telling everybody good luck.
No, I think he might know. The station's sold, I bet.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming.
Hey. May it count, hour and a half.
Bill, you want to talk to Bill?
Go ahead.
And don't do the Bill. That's
I know.
That's for Bill Cleveland. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
All right. I just wanted you to tell... what I seen when I was in high school, and I got to see the Holocaust movies. They showed them when I was in high school.
They showed the watered-down high school version, I'm sure.
Oh, no. They showed the bodies pushed in.
No, Bill. I've seen that over the years many, many, many times. I'm telling you, when you see this Netflix thing, that's nothing what you saw compared to what you're going to learn and see. With this thing.
But what I called about was there was a ship of Jewish refugees that got out of Germany,
mm-hmm.
and they came to America, and they were sent back to Germany,
mm-hmm.
and they were taken off the ship. So America isn't innocent in the Holocaust.
Well, I'm sure to some degree that's true, but we didn't.
We didn't exactly round up a bunch of Jewish people and, like, you know, massacre them en masse. But, I mean, yeah, granted. The biggest issue with America is back then they didn't believe that the death camps were a thing, which is sad.
We didn't know they existed.
Exactly. You know, not a lot of people believed that they existed.
You can't be complicit in sending somebody somewhere you don't even know exists. They just sent them back home.
Right. So
they thought. So they thought. All right. All right, Bill. All right. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. America's not perfect.
No.
We know that.
They're far from perfect.
I'll take it over.
But there's much worse.
But there's Hitler.
There's Hitler. I mean, really, when you look back in history, you look just the most evil people in the world. I mean, he has to be this number one.
Joseph Stalin's really up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fight for that.
And Limey will remember this. There's a great... I take it back. That's after I watched this Netflix thing, I watched the document about the trial of Oscar Gröning, who was an SS officer. And one of the points that one of the attorneys made was he was an SS officer, and even though he never pulled the trigger and shot anybody in the head or mowed him down, he was complicit because he was helping this machine operate. And one of the examples they gave was Adolf Hitler himself never came to the camp and fired a shot.
Really?
Right.
So don't say he wasn't complicit.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was... When they said that, I thought, okay, you made your case.
You're aiding and abetting. Wow. You're aiding and abetting evil.
What else lighter do we have?
You know, I don't really have lighter. I mean, Blinded by the Light, by the way. I think I give it... I'm between 3 and 3.5 ARDs. I'm just
can,
not
can
sure.
Can you give it 3.25, Limey?
Yeah.
Let's put it to the test.
Right
Blinded by the Light, 3.25 ARDs. Here they come.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
He did.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, he did it.
So the next movie goes a complete, you know, complete, I'd say, like, on the other direction. It's called Ready or Not, and it is a movie that combines the idea of the greatest game. So imagine, you know, you're a bride and you're getting ready to get married, and you sort of know your groom's folks, but you don't really know them that well. And the night of your wedding, you have your future brother-in-law telling you, you know, you might not want to get married to my brother. You might want to run.
Ooh.
And
what is this again?
This is called Ready or Not. It is about a woman who marries the man of his dreams, and all she has to do...
The man of her dream.
Her dreams. Go through his family. Literally go through his family.
Where do you see this?
It comes out tonight in theaters, okay. Wide.
Okay.
The cast is mostly a bunch of TV actors, and the biggest name you'll know is Andie MacDowell, who still looks good at a very old age.
I like Andie MacDowell.
She plays the mother. And okay, so
here's how everybody will know her: Groundhog Day.
Yep.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, she looks, and she was in the movie with the fire guys, the green. She played Jeff Bridges' wife in that one last year that you saw before I did.
The firefighters?
The firefighters.
The forest fire?
Yeah, the forest fire. Yeah, she was in that.
Yeah.
But, she's in this. So that's probably the most noticeable name. But the movie takes place on the wedding night. So they get married, a young couple. And, you know, the husband says, well, at midnight we're going to play a game. And the wife's like, okay, this kind of sounds fun. But she has no idea what she's getting into. So there's an ancient, like, there's a ritual that the family has where you draw a card. And it could be chess, it could be checkers, it could be a board game. She pulls the card that says hide and seek.
Hmm.
And now normally when you're a kid, you go hide.
Well, when you're wedding night, you think hide the weenie. Okay,
yeah.
This will be fun.
This is not your normal hide and seek. This is you go run and hide, and the family gets weapons and hunts you in the house.
Ooh.
So that is, and this is basically the family deciding if she has the metal, can really handle herself in the family. But it's so crazy and ridiculous and absurd. But the directors and the writers, they know it. And the thing about it is they undercut all this crazy violence with humor. They have this old, wicked-looking grandma who hates, you know, the young bride. And she goes, at midnight, we're going to play a game.
I don't like mixing violent darkness with humor.
But it's not joke humor. It's like you just get laughs out of it. It's real comedy because it's like the directors are telling you, okay, this is a crazy situation, and we're trying to make it kind of not really like Good Boys humor. It's like just more like dark humor.
Yeah, when you say Good Boys humor, when I saw Good Boys, I didn't see any humor at all in it. Nothing. Didn't laugh once. 15 minutes, my wife and I were there. We got up and left. We did not laugh one time.
I laughed and I enjoyed it, but everybody in the theater that I watched it with just loved it. And I was like, that's just basically a sixth grade ripoff of Superbad.
No, something's wrong with me.
But Ready or Not, you know, which again has, you won't really know anybody in the cast. The lead actress is Samara Weaving. She's been in a couple TV shows. She plays the bride. And I think
she's hot.
Yeah. She was in a Showtime series called Smilf. She played.
I saw one episode of that.
She plays the one that's dating her ex. She has the blonde
Smilf
hair.
Smilf stands for Single Mom I'd Like to Friend.
Yeah, that's right. But so this is like her movie. And she's good. At first, you know, she plays this kind of damsel in distress. She doesn't know what she's getting into. But as the movie goes on, she kind of starts to become aware that she has to, you know, survive, because she has till dawn. When it becomes light out, then the game's over. But she has to survive in this large mansion. And so I found this movie to be a combination of Get Out meets The Purge. That's kind of what I get from it. It's just a wicked thriller, dark comedy that works because the whole cast is in on it. I mean, it's not too serious, it's not too light, and it's 90 minutes. I mean, it flies. They get married, she draws the card, and we're off.
Now I want to talk to Diane, but it opens when?
It opens Wednesday, but, you know, it opens tonight at 7 p.m., the first show. Ready or Not, I give it 3 ARDs.
Here they come.
All right, Dan.
And now, Diane, your wait is over. You've been very patient. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am fine. And, Frank, I want to thank you so much for your comments yesterday about the Holocaust. And when you say something, it stands out from other people. And I really, really wanted to thank you. But I also had a question.
Okay.
I had heard that Steve Spielberg was making a documentary and talking to people who had never talked about it and had lived through it. And I never heard anything more about, is it done? Is it coming out? Anything. I just wondered if you knew something about it.
That's a great question. I don't know. Dan, do you know?
I haven't heard anything with Spielberg in a documentary, but then again, when he does stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, when he does it, though, it happens quick. Like, he made the post in less than 6 months.
So here's what we could do. Dan, will you look into this?
I'm going to look into it.
And then maybe if you can wait until next week, Diane, he'll have something. If Spielberg did do that project, we'll have the information. Would you find something already?
Well, no, I was just typing in a Spielberg Holocaust movie.
Diane, have you bothered to Google
Schindler's List?
No, I haven't, because I really try not to think about all this too much. It's a very painful subject. And I also had another question.
Okay.
Besides talking about what Germany was going through and the industrial area and everything, if you stop to think, there's a question that no one has been able to answer, and that is, how could people follow Hitler?
No, I've asked this question a dozen times at least. I asked it yesterday. How could 800,000, that's how many SS officers there were, or military people, 800,000 men and women who all participated in some way or other and followed. And when somebody says this, and Limey will remember this part of the movie too, or maybe not, maybe it was the trial of Oscar Gröning. Nonetheless, when somebody says, well, they had no choice because if you didn't obey, then you would be tortured, executed, imprisoned. There is not one piece of evidence that anybody in Germany whoever didn't sign on for this was tortured or punished in any way. None. So you could have opted out. But 800,000 people, all we realize, were murderers or accomplices to murder, watched it, witnessed it, did nothing. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. How could that many human beings follow
He's
a
so
monster
evil.
Like, yeah. Wow, it's just hard to imagine. But if nothing else, it makes you realize there are lots of people in this world who are capable of terrible things.
Just like what was going on now. Anyway, thank you very much.
Diane, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. This is a big hot button. This has set off. You see my emails.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that gets everybody talking. Like when the Ted Bundy Netflix series was released. I mean, everybody's like, oh, my God.
I think the best thing that could happen would be for all of a sudden there be a renewed interest in what happened at the Holocaust. And I don't think it could hurt. It's not pleasant, but it can hurt.
The only thing I can find that Diane might have been talking about is that it was the 25th anniversary of Schindler's List.
In December.
Yeah.
And did he do a supplemental documentary?
He might have not.
The only thing I came up when I said Spielberg documentary was his HBO documentary about his life. That's all I saw.
I think what Spielberg did with Schindler's List was brilliance, not even a good enough word. The certain little things. Do you remember the girl in the red dress?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just things like that.
When she's standing
in
the road, that shot. And really, Ralph Fiennes plays a terrifying Nazi officer. I mean, he can play other things. He's a great actor. But whenever I see his face on the screen, I go, yeah, Schindler's List, you're nasty.
For those who don't remember, I almost watched Schindler's List again the other night, and then I noticed it's over 3 hours long.
Yeah, and really, people have to understand, this is before Liam Neeson became an action star.
Right.
He was an actor first before he was an action star. Rob Roy, Schindler's List. I mean, then all of a sudden, he just decided, I'm just going to, you know, save the day.
Yeah.
But this is before he did that. He was a legit great. Because that movie of Oscar Schindler, he needed to have restraint in that role. I mean, you needed to have the right actor, and I think he was
perfect. Let's talk to Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, good evening, and I am AM and PM.
Thank you.
Editorial day.
Wow, that's way back. Thank you.
Now, what year was that, Frank?
That would have been about 1983.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hey, I got a challenge for you if you got time for you and Dan.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. Here we go.
Which
I got,
Dan?
Dan Buffett,
Tom Brokaw,
right?
Tom Brokaw interviewing Al Capone, The Godfather, Jack Nicholson, and I can't remember who the other one was. I want to see how good you are. Good luck.
Al Capone. Okay.
Thank you, Dan. You can let Dan go.
Did you
now.
Do okay. Al Capone?
No. That's why we're not going to do that.
What's the question? What's
it would
challenge?
Be Christopher Walken.
No, he just wants to hear a bunch of impressions, and I appreciate that he does, but we're running so short on time.
How do you do Al Capone?
Nobody that I know does Al Capone. I have no idea what he sounded like.
I guess you just do De Niro from Untouchables,
did
I guess?
Did you know Robert De Niro just sued? His company just sued an employee they had for $6 million?
Yeah.
Whoa. Because the employee was... It was proven, I guess, that this, I think it was a woman, watched 55 episodes of Friends in a concentrated period of time when she was supposed to be working. And then they found out she'd watched some other entire series, all the episodes, all on the job. Now, I don't know how that's worth $6 million, but that's what they're suing her for. Million. Normally, they just fire you.
I mean, for him, it's just like
that. But she like was a high-level executive for his production company, so I think they can say, well,
million.
For her to kill that kind of time, she could have, in that same time, generated... $6 million worth of business for us. Oh, so, yeah, that's a big deal, too. I'll talk about it at the Playhouse. What else do you have?
All right, so now I'm going to run down some news. A lot of news today. I mean, I got out of this movie, and we had some big news in the movie world, so I'm just going to run down this list. There's going to be a new Matrix movie, Matrix 4. They are getting Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, and the original creator and director together for Matrix 4. Originally, I would say I don't like this because the last two ones were just kind of troubled. But the way Keanu Reeves is, what he's doing right now with John Wick and everything he's doing, I'm gonna believe in this one. I don't think he would do it if there wasn't some worth in it. So this is right as you're approaching the 20-year anniversary of the first Matrix, they have greenlit Matrix 4.
Whatever else you're gonna talk about in this,
yes,
please, please don't include. Sorry. That Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx have broken up. Because I just did kill
I was going to say that for last,
so
because
sad.
I'll just cry.
So sad.
I didn't even know they were dating, to be honest
who
with
cares?
You.
Who cares?
She went from Tom Cruise to Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, who cares? Go ahead, I'm kidding.
James Bond, the last Daniel Craig film, has a title, and it's called No Time to Die.
Do you like Daniel Craig as James Bond?
I do, because I think he's just different. He gives you kind of a more rough-and-tumble James Bond than the usual.
I didn't at first, but I've sort of come to accept
it. It's his last one. It's been delayed because he got hurt, but it is going to come out next spring. It's called James Bond 25, No Time to Die. That is the official title. Speaking of The Righteous Gemstones, it was the most watched comedy premiere for HBO in 3 years.
Wow.
And yeah, I think they have a lot of shows, a lot of comedies every year. So that's a definitely a big one. And speaking of HBO and one of our favorite, our mutual shows, Succession has already been greenlit for season 3.
Beautiful.
And I'll tell you what, you agree with me on this. You know, we don't always agree 100%, but
usually we don't
agree. I basically want... I want the next episode whenever one episode ends in Succession. This one ended, and I was like, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. I mean, I wish...
The problem with that is then after the next episode, you also want the one after that.
I know.
Yeah.
I wish
and
it was almost like Netflix.
Up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Can we just have the 10 episodes all at once,
well,
HBO?
And here's the deal. Yellowstone comes on again tomorrow night. I'm already thinking about it. And every time Yellowstone ends, because you can't go watch the whole season, I'm mad that it's over.
And really, I mean, TV shows didn't used to be so cinematic. These are like one-hour movies. It's basically the way they play out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a little side note about Succession. I am somehow rooting for Kendall this season. He's the tortured son on this show. He's the one that tried to overtake the dad and the media company, and he failed. And now he's like a robot. But I don't know, for some reason, I'm rooting for him. I don't know if you are, but I just find...
I don't want to go into it because there's so many people who don't know what we're talking about that you always have to think of who's listening. And most people listening,
Jeremy Strong plays Kendall, and again, the cast is brilliant. Brian Cox has probably never been better. He's great in the show. It is still new, folks. You can get in. It's only, 10 episodes in the first season? It's 12 episodes in. So it's got 3 seasons coming up, so you can still get in. I would. It's probably behind Billions and Yellowstone, probably the best television out there right now.
Hey, the De Niro company, production company thing, they're suing that lady for $6 million.
Right.
Apparently, she's also embezzled and taken lavish trips.
No, I got all that in the Playhouse.
Like
now you've ruined.
Oh.
You've just ruined.
No, deep tease. Deep tease.
Oh, there were people that just
called. Just ruined the Playhouse.
People that
I had all that other stuff, and he just ruined it.
Really big news that Limey's going to be sad, just like I am. Sony and Marvel have they cannot come to an agreement, so Spider-Man will not have any more Marvel involvement. This, can I just have going on, can I go on a quick rant before I leave?
Your segment. You have, three minutes.
Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man. They always had the cinematic rights to Spider-Man. And look, the Tobey Maguire films, the first one was okay. The second one was great. But Marvel is something else. Why would you break up something that's making... The latest Spider-Man film that came out 6 weeks ago, Frank, has made $1 billion. Avengers Endgame overtook Titanic as the top spot, the top grossing film. So if you're... Sony, do you go, let's break this marriage up? No, you go, let's make more movies. Sony is saying, no, we're going to take our prize and we're going to walk away from you. I think it's a terrible decision to let Marvel walk away. Maybe they'll come back together. I know it's a matter of money, but they had two more movies playing with Tom Holland and Spider-Man. The last one was really good. This one is just, it doesn't make any sense.
And I've got one last fun story for you during our entertainment segment. You know, most people, when they're sworn into an elected political office, they put their hand on what?
Bible.
Right?
The Bible.
St. Louis County Councilwoman by the name of Kelly Dunaway just was elected to the St. Louis County Council in the election last week.
Yeah.
The Missouri doesn't require that you be sworn in on a Bible, but they do require a book. So you know what book she chose to swear herself in on?
I guess a Marvel comic.
A Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
there you go. If you have a choice, I guess.
She chose the Places You Go because it was her 5 and 7 year old son, or 5 and 7 year old child's favorite book. And so during her ceremony, she swore in on a Dr. Seuss book.
Not? That's awesome.
Hilarious. Beautiful.
That's
now,
great.
Here's the you have a under a minute.
Under a minute.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm really mad at Sony. Hopefully they come to their senses. I mean, again, I understand the movies didn't do well, but you have a movie that's going to get re-released. Spider-Man Homecoming or Far From Home is going to be re-released in like after 2 months after it got released initially. So it's making a bunch of money.
How about this? How'd you like to be an actor? And you're part of this.
Yeah.
Knowing that, no matter how hard you work on a movie, that you never... actually have to work again the rest of your life.
No.
You do one movie and you are done and live really well.
This film made $1 billion. It didn't even have any really big stars except for Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal, but it's just, I don't know. Hopefully by the time I come back on, they have come to their senses. It takes one cell phone call. That's Hollywood, though. Politics can ruin the game of movies. That's it. Until next week, I'll have more reviews next week, including Peanut Butter Falcon with Shia LaBeouf, who I think is just one of the best movies of the year. That's a deep tease. Until then, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right, there he goes. He's had enough of. He's Dan Buffa. We'll be back next Tuesday, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And remember, like the people that call today, next week, if you have something to throw in, to add, a suggestion, something to see or stay away from, you're always welcome to do that. You're also always welcome to contact his sponsor, Window World. Now, I know that right now, most of you listening don't need windows. I know that. But if you just pay attention, and I want Window World to be right at, on the tip of your tongue, top of mind awareness. I want, when the time comes, next month, next year, when the time does come, I want you to already know enough about Window World that you wouldn't ever make a decision on a replacement window without at least talking to these people, without letting them come out and give you an in-home estimate. Why would you not do that? There are several reasons this is the biggest selling replacement window in the world. That doesn't happen unless you have a really, really great product at a great price. Value. That's what people want, and that's what they get, and that's why they sell more of these than any other replacement window. So here's the deal. And I know sometimes maybe we put too much emphasis on how important it is to tell them your AM and the PM, but it is so important. When you contact Window World, you let them know your AM and the PM. And we're not telling you to do anything. All we're asking you to do is give them a shot at your business. You don't like them, you don't like the window, go pay five times as much for another window. It's a free country. We say when we're kids, free country. Window World. You can find out all of the information and some of the many reasons why it is what it is and they are what they are and they've reached a level of success they have at WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Got an email requesting a joke. The timing is perfect. It's been a year since we told it. Coming up in the Playhouse after the news, it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Roger Hudson. The White House is looking to prevent a recession, including a possible payroll tax cut. Economists in the administration are also looking at other possible tax breaks to stave off a downturn. President Trump says the U.S. economy is far from a recession.
We're right now the number one country anywhere in the world by far as an economy.
Speaking at the White House today, President Trump dismissed the idea that the country could be headed for a recession, while at the same time saying the world is in a recession right now. Police in Mississippi are saying